Hi there. Welcome to this very special program of Open House. I'm Raymond Galker, and we have a special guest with us, the Executive Director of Seminary Ridge Museum and Educational Center. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is Judy Morley. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judy.
Thanks, Ray, for being here.
It's so nice to be with you. It's always nice to be with Judy because her energy it just comes out and just that laugh that you have. Like when you were in our trivia program, you just made everybody so much happier. So it's always great being with you. And
Thank you. It's
awesome. We are here, you know, mm-hmm. at the Seminary Ridge Museum. An awesome looking place. It's been years since I've been in here, and I'm amazed at the flow of constant people that trickle in here, and they have questions and such.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the museum.
So Seminary Ridge Museum, this is called Schmucker Hall. The building we're standing in is Schmucker Hall. It was built in 1832. So we're in this very, very old building. The museum itself opened in here in 2013. And we interpret three basic things here. We talk about the first day of the battle, because this building, this very building, played a huge role in the first day of the Battle of Gettysburg. There are not a lot of buildings that you can still go into here in Gettysburg that played as crucial a role in the battle itself as this one. So we interpret the first day of the battle. This building also served as a field hospital and then a general hospital. For months, the last patient didn't leave until September 16th, so more than 2 months after the end of the battle. So we also interpret the medical aspect of the Battle of Gettysburg and the impact that the injuries and the wounds had on not only the soldiers who were wounded, but on the surgeons and the attendants and those folks. And then we also, because we are here on the campus of United Lutheran Seminary, we also interpret religion and the conversations around slavery and religion in the 1820s, 30s, and 40s, and how that led to the coming of the Civil War.
Is there a particular item that people really cling to when they come here?
Well, right now, the one item that people want to see the most is a pair of eyeglasses that was owned by Abraham Lincoln and that we believe he had with him here at Gettysburg. And so we can take a look at those in a little bit.
Did he go up to the cupola?
We don't believe that Abraham Lincoln was ever in the building, no, but
okay.
A whole lot of the Union Army and the Confederate Army were both up in the cupola.
And we're going to be up there just shortly.
Yes.
So stay with us. Judy, where are we standing right now?
So right now we're standing in the attic of the Seminary Ridge Museum. This is the area right below the cupola. So we're above the fourth floor, but we haven't quite made it up to the cupola. So when this was actually a dorm for the seminarians, this would have been where they gathered to play cards or socialize, hot in the summer, cold in the winter. But it's this cool old space.
Yes, this is awesome. When I first came in here, it took my breath away because I love wood, and you have wood floors.
Yeah,
and
beams.
The architecture is pretty much phenomenal. And you know, when you look at the shape of the valleys, mm-hmm. and you have some of the original. This is original flooring.
So the flooring we're standing on right now dates to an 1895 renovation. So it's still old. But on the other side of the attic, we have the original 1832 flooring.
The wider flooring.
Yeah.
And then you have the beams that's going up here that goes and supports the cupola.
Yeah.
And you have this fantastic window. Can you talk about this?
Well, sure. So this fan window faces west, looks out at the at South Mountain, of course, Pennsylvania, the extension of the Blue Ridge, where the Confederates would have come up on the western side of that on the first, on June 28th through 30th. And then you can see much of the first day's battlefield. The glass of this window is not historic. It would have been blown out on July 1st, 1863, but certainly everything else around the window, the framing and the hole for it is original to the 1832 building.
So there was a lot of soldiers and officers probably just hanging around here,
yes,
looking at what's going on.
So there would have been. Right now, when we go up to the cupola, we're going to take the stairs. But what would have been here in 1863 was a ladder. So there weren't a lot of people going up and down that ladder. There were some Signal Corps officers. We know of several. We know that Brigadier General John Buford went up and down the ladder a couple of times. We don't believe that Robert E. Lee did, but there's some speculation about that. So both sides did use this as a lookout. So up in the cupola floor above us, it's more limited space, but this attic and this view certainly would have been a nice lookout space, but it was also a big target.
Oh,
so
okay.
That window wasn't as safe as it appears.
Okay, yeah, super. And you know, the Blue Ridge Mountains, that covers a lot of Adams County and goes up to Dillsburg and goes down to Maryland. And they came over that,
yes,
and came in what directions? I mean,
so if you look out the window, the Confederate Army would have been west beyond the Blue Ridge. They're beyond South Mountain. And they started coming up on June 3rd, but by about June 29th and 30th, they were mostly concentrated in Chambersburg, which is 30 miles west through the gaps in the Blue Ridge. On the night of June 29th into 30th, and then more so June 30th into July 1st, they started crossing through predominantly Cashtown Gap,
okay,
which is 8 miles west of us. And that would have been the old Chambersburg Pike, today's Route 30.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so John Buford, the Brigadier General of Cavalry here at Gettysburg, on the afternoon of June 30th, 1863, he was up in our cupola, and he could tell that there was more than just an advance guard of Confederates by looking out at this same view and seeing, first of all, the size of the dust cloud that was being raised. He knew that this was a whole division or more of infantry, that this wasn't just some cavalry outriders. And then that night, by the number of campfires that he could count out toward Cashtown.
And how far did the Confederates made it here?
To this building, yes. At the end of July 1st, 1863, after hard fighting on these fields to the west of us, they actually took control of this building. And this building was in Confederate control July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
The whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
Wow. Standing now.
So we are in the cupola of the what would have then been called the Lutheran Theological Seminary of Gettysburg, today Seminary Ridge Museum and Education Center. We're in the cupola. This would have been where the Union cavalry would have spotted the Confederates coming and then used it as a lookout for the entire first day's battle. There's been a lot of building here, obviously, since 1863, so many of the buildings that we see around us were not here at the time of the battle, which would have given the people in this cupola an amazing 360-degree view of everything that was happening, not only with the Confederate movements into town and the battle that was happening just in front of us, but also as the Union troops started to arrive behind us and off to my left, coming in from the south and east. The signal station officers and the cavalry officers up here would have been able to see everything.
And we are here at the Seminary Ridge Museum and Education Center with Julie Morley, if you're just joining us in this production. And this is just breathtaking. I love being in high areas and being able to look distances.
Uh-huh.
And wow, and such a beautiful day.
It is.
You know, I feel so blessed. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for coming over.
Great. And This was burnt down at one point.
Yeah, so on about 50 years after the battle in 1913, lightning struck the cupola here, and it just burned down to the roof line, and they rebuilt the cupola. So everything we saw in the attic was still original to the 1832 building, but this had to be rebuilt. And so when people ask, I say, this is not the cupola that General John Buford stood in, but it is the cupola that Sam Elliott stood in when they filmed the movie Gettysburg. And most people think that's just as cool.
Just as cool. Now, everything's been rebuilt as it was.
Absolutely.
As it was. So we're looking at a very large span.
Yeah, so what we can see right in front of us is McPherson's Ridge. So that would have been where the fighting really started on the first day of the battle. Nothing to the west of us was here at the time of the battle, at least in our view site. There was one small house down on the corner of Highway 30 and Seminary Ridge, but right now we see so much of the seminary campus that wouldn't have been there. We've got the refectory building and the power plant and the library. None of that would have been there. The YWCA, none of that would have been there. Even the chapel next door to us would not have been here. So we can see out to where the First Corps of the Union Army and the famed Iron Brigade engaged the Confederates as they were marching into town. And then we can even, through the trees a little bit, see the edge of the Chambersburg Pike and up to Oak Hill where the remaining action in the afternoon of July 1st took place.
So the farms that we see weren't here?
Many of the farms actually were here. This okay. would have been farmland.
Okay.
There, you can see, as you see glinting out there, some roofs. Most of those roofs actually would have been here.
And the farmland is the farmland that would have been here, and the trees are the tree line that would have been here.
Close. There, yes. This ground right in front of us is less treed than it would have been in 1863, but we're high enough that we would have been able to see over the tree line.
And I can see some monuments down there. Mm-hmm. So when the engagement began, uh-huh. did it begin down there at the monuments or closer?
Well, actually, the very first shot was fired. If you look way out in the distance, you can see a red roof.
Yes.
That's on Hers Ridge.
Okay.
And about another half mile beyond that, on Knoxland Ridge, it's where the first shot was fired at 7:30 in the morning on July 1st.
Okay.
And the Union cavalry did, I'll call it a delaying action. There were only 2,900 Union cavalrymen facing about 10,000 Confederate infantry.
Wow.
So the cavalrymen spread out and started attacking, kind of harassing the Confederates, so that they had to spread out. And it's a lot slower to march through the fields and up the ridges and back down the ridges than to just march along a road. Mm-hmm. So that slowed them down until about 10 o'clock in the morning. Meanwhile, the cavalry officer here, who I've mentioned before, John Buford, he sends a telegraph to the nearest infantry, which was down in Emmitsburg, about 6 miles away, and said, "Hurry up, guys, I'm in a fight," basically. Mm-hmm. The infantry under General John Reynolds arrives at 10 a.m. or so. It's hard in the Civil War because you don't have standardized time. So everybody's timepiece says something a little bit different. So all of these times are guesstimates. But about 10 o'clock, they arrive here on McPherson's Ridge. Yes, what we see. And that's where the infantry against infantry begins to fight. So the battle had been cavalry against infantry and some very, very severe fighting taking place. But equal numbers kind of finally meet here on McPherson's Ridge in that woods.
Right here in that woods. Okay.
Yep.
Super. And then we keep on moving.
As we move south.
South.
Yeah.
And nothing's occurring the first day to the south.
Not too much. No, ultimately that's what turns the tide, though, on the first day, is that the Confederate Army, about now it's by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so at the end of the day, they're able to bring enough troops around to the south to outflank or get around the Union line and come onto the seminary property. The Union soldiers that had been fighting in these fields in front of us retreat. They build a barricade right here at the seminary, right on the ground of the seminary, just really at the foot of this building. And they make a bit of a last stand here on the evening of July 1st. Before finally then retreating with their comrades back to town to the ultimate Cemetery Hill position.
So they would have went in town.
They would have, yeah, gone, just
come right through here, the seminary grounds, and continue just over our shoulders here into town, and then up to Cemetery Hill, which I don't know if you can see, the camera can see from here, but the Blue Water Tower, that's the Blue Water Tower on Cemetery Hill. So that would have been the Union fallback position on the night of July 1st.
So the high water mark,
I hear
that mentioned often. Is that here?
No. The high water mark, and again, with trees, you can't really see. And, you know, my staff and I have actually had debates about this. The high water mark, I don't believe, is that far from us as the crow flies, but it is south of us, probably close to a mile. And the fields south of us now are blocked by all these trees that have grown up since 1863, but this would have been open fields. And you would have been able to see the fields where Pickett's charge took place on July 3rd, and that would have been the high water mark.
Okay.
About, I don't know, I'm going to say 3/4 of a mile south of us.
So on the first day, the Confederates made it here. The Union goes back into town. But there were skirmishes on the first day in town?
Absolutely.
Or did that happen afterwards?
No, in town as the Union, because the Union's not only retreating from our front, which is west, but also from off to our right, which is from the north. And we can kind of see over our shoulder here Gettysburg College and the glass structure that's now part of Gettysburg College. But the fields beyond that would have been where the Union 11th Corps was also fighting. So the Union was in the shape of an L, kind of a line on the north and a line on the west. And as that 11th Corps fell back through town here behind me, there was some real hand-to-hand combat, fighting in the streets, people chasing each other through alleys, soldiers diving into civilians' cellars and basements and chicken coops to try to escape capture. Not all of them made it back to Cemetery Hill.
And there were stories that the people who lived in Gettysburg would go to the highest level of their homes and on the roofs to watch, or...
That happened until a few artillery shells hit those higher levels. Then they went to their cellars.
There you go. Yeah. Wow. Is there anything that you would like to add to this wonderful experience that you're providing us?
Well, I will say that I think that this view is one of the best views that gives you the whole 360 degree experience of what the battle would have been like from a building that was here. You know, the War Department built the towers all through the battlefield in the 1890s, and there are other places that you can observe. But those would have all come after the fact, and they wouldn't have been what the soldiers who actually fought here saw, where this view is what the soldiers who actually fought here saw, and still intact. And yes, there's been development, but it gives you an idea of the scope of the battlefield and what the people who were fighting were preparing for when they saw it on July 1st.
So the Seminary Ridge Museum and Educational Center provides a unique experience other than just this cupola. That people can't get other places when they visit Gettysburg. Can you explain some of those to us?
Sure, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of places to learn about the history of the battle here in Gettysburg. And we're one of them, absolutely, you know. But one of the things that we pride ourselves on is we go a little bit deeper than that. This building was a hospital, as I mentioned. You know, those wounded on the first day, those Union wounded, were coming in here. They were flooding in here, actually. And then when the Confederates took over the building, they captured all the surgeons and took all the medicines and everything with them. So many of those Union wounded suffered here for 3 days with no care, no medical treatment, nothing, until the Confederates retreated and the Union surgeons could come back. So this building was a hospital then, and close to 700 patients we hear were here treated in the building. And so we talk about that aspect. We talk about what those men went through, what the civilians who came to help. There were civilian farm folk living along the Chambersburg Pike who, after July 4th, just came up here to help. What was that like? What was it like being a 30-year-old mother who'd, you know, never seen an injury and then stepping into this carnage to try to dress wounds?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, yeah.
But the week before, never thought this would happen. I mean,
exactly.
It was like life, thinking about the family, thinking about what needed to be done to put food on the table and keep things moving. All of a sudden,
Yeah, all of a sudden you're dressing amputated limbs, you know, and that was a huge shock. So we tell those stories because I think those stories sometimes get lost. We have a few civilians that we talk about in the story of Gettysburg, but we really try to put more of an emphasis on that. And then, of course, we are on the campus of the Lutheran Seminary, and we were in 1863. And so what did that mean for the seminarians? There were seminarians from both North and South who attended here. What were they talking about? What was the debate about? And the founder of the seminary, Samuel Schmucker, was an abolitionist. So what's his position? Well, his position is that slavery is evil, and he's trying to get the entire Lutheran Church to accept that, North and South, in the years prior to the Civil War, which made him a target. There was a reason on July 1st that he fled, and the South Carolina troops targeted his house two doors down, because he was, you know, not a welcome person anywhere in the South. He was definitely wanted. And so what are those conversations about? How does a faith that, you know, has a holy book like the Bible use that same Bible to both justify slavery and criticize slavery? And what are those debates like in the 1830s? And so we talk a lot about that here as well.
So we're with Judy Moreland, who is the executive director of the Seminary Ridge Museum and Educational Center.
Uh-huh.
And we're now on which floor?
We're on the second floor.
Okay, can you explain what this floor is about?
Yeah, this floor interprets the presence of slavery and the anti-slavery movement here in Adams County, and the conversations around religion and slavery and abolitionism and how they impact the coming of the Civil War.
And that was very strong here in Gettysburg?
You know, it was really strong here. We're just 11 miles over the border from Maryland, which was a slave state, even though it was loyal to the Union. Both Northern and Southern seminarians came here to this school. And so there were debates about it all the time. And of course, the religious aspect of it, both North and South used Christianity as a way to justify their positions. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of very fertile debates going on in these walls.
So in this room?
Well, in this room, we talk about the African-American soldiers. We talk about how blacks served in the military after the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, and how many of the African-Americans living here in Adams County were impacted by slave catchers, and then by the coming of the war and the military aspects of that, and then being able to serve.
And that was a common thing that our African-Americans here had to worry about, mm-hmm. being kidnapped and taken back.
Correct.
Even though they were born here.
Correct. When the African-Americans here in Gettysburg heard in June of 1863 that the Confederate Army was coming, and once they got to Chambersburg, many of them fled. And estimates vary widely because we don't know for sure, but the estimates are approximately 500 free-born African-Americans were taken from South Central PA during the Gettysburg Campaign and kidnapped and sold back into slavery.
How many was that?
500.
So the 500 were kidnapped. So there was a lot more than 500 living in this area.
Well, in this whole area, yeah, there were about 200 free African-Americans in Gettysburg proper, but that's of a population of 2,400. But when you spread that out to all of Adams County, yeah, there were a lot more of them living here.
Correct. And there's some stories of African-Americans that were hiding in cellars here when everything broke out.
Yeah, cellars. And there was one in the cupola, not our cupola here, but in Christ Lutheran Church downtown. There was a woman who hid up in for 3 days without food or water or anything, just hid up there.
And just scared. I mean,
yeah. Ooh. Can you imagine?
And over here?
Yeah, so over here we talk about more longer term, about the slavery in Adams County. We talk about how it is a border county. We talk about the slave catchers and how even prior to 1863, they would come into Maryland and from Maryland, into Adams County and kidnap slaves. We have Thaddeus Stevens in this room. He was probably the best known abolitionist here in Adams County, followed by Samuel Schmucker, who was the founder of the seminary here and a strong anti-slavery advocate.
So all these exhibits that you have, is it better to come here and go through a tour, or is it benefit to linger? You have, like in this room, you have audio going on that explains things.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that experience? If I was coming here?
Sure.
What is the best thing for me to do before I come to Seminary Ridge to have the best experience?
Well, you don't really need to do any pre-study because we'll tell it to you. But when you come here, what we have the typical visitor do is if they do want to visit the cupola, visiting the cupola is optional. We recognize that heights aren't for everybody. But if they do want to visit the cupola, we start there. And then we tell them to work their way down because it starts at the cupola and then the fourth floor talks about the battle, the third floor talks about the hospital, but the second floor is where we are now, talks about slavery in Adams County.
Okay. What else do you have to show on this floor?
Well, let me show you one last thing.
Where are we going, Judy?
So this room is kind of the culmination of everything. We call this room the last full measure of devotion. And the panels around the room talk about what this was all for. What did Abraham Lincoln talk about when he came to Gettysburg and gave the Gettysburg Address 4 months after the battle? And it was about this last full measure of devotion. And in that, he shifted the purpose of the war, which had always just been about keeping the Union together. In his Gettysburg Address, he added the goal of liberty and freedom for African Americans, freeing the slaves. He made that a war aim in the Gettysburg Address. So we see what that led to, and we have some of the implications from not only the veterans reunions, but all the way through the Civil Rights Movement, the signing of the Civil Rights Act, the March on Washington with Martin Luther King Jr., and then the swearing in of President Barack Obama. So this is the legacy of the Battle of Gettysburg.
And we're still living through it because we're, as a nation, we're still facing human nature and some beliefs that some of us has not been born with but been exposed to.
Yeah, we're deeply divided right now, and I think that's why it's more important than ever to really learn the actual history of it.
And
go
ahead.
But the coolest thing in this room, in a room of a lot of cool ideas, is this artifact right here on the wall. This is a pair of eyeglasses owned by Abraham Lincoln. We believe, based on the prescription, that they would have been the glasses he would have needed at the time when he was here in Gettysburg to read the Gettysburg Address. So.
And you can't forget post-it notes.
Well, yes, our high-tech post-it notes. We go through these about once a week. So the question at the top is, what do you think is the unfinished work for freedom? And we ask people to continue the dialogue. Mm-hmm. We want to know, and we keep track of this. So we have spreadsheets from the whole 12 years we've been here as far as what people have commented. We have staff members that every week collect these post-it notes and transcribe what they say, and we keep them in a spreadsheet. And so we can go back and see what people thought year by year. It's a fascinating research project.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I've been asking all these questions and you've been very generous speaking and using your voice much today. Yeah. So what else do you have that you would like to speak on?
Well, the last thing I think I'd like to say is that if you haven't been to Seminary Ridge Museum, if our audience here hasn't been to Seminary Ridge Museum and Education Center before, or even if you have but haven't been here recently, we've just undergone a bunch of upgrades. We have all new audiovisual equipment. Where we used to have 46-inch TV screens that told our story, now we have 155-inch LED screens. We have the Lincoln glasses and a whole bunch of other new artifacts. We're in the process of just updating and upgrading and providing more for the public to see. And so I just invite everyone to come take a look.
Judy, how long have you been the executive director here?
I am coming up on my 1 year anniversary. I started October 1st last year.
Exciting for you because this is your heart's desire.
Yeah.
I mean, how long have you been really like hunger and thirst and grabbing for historical ideas and concepts? How long have you been like this?
Well, my whole life. I fell in love with Gettysburg per se when I was 7 years old on a family trip. But my life and career took a lot of different turns, but I became I have a PhD in history, which I got in 2002 and was a professor even before, or an instructor and then a professor, and just love history. The other thing I've done in my career is a lot of leadership training. And so to study things like the Battle of Gettysburg, where leadership plays such an incredible role in this seminal historical moment for me is just really exciting, and it brings together all of the things that I love and am passionate about. And so I've lived here in Gettysburg about 7.5 years and have just fallen in love with the community and was really honored when I was able to take over this position to lead this amazing organization.
I imagine your heart's desire. And you just recently got a license?
I did. I just recently became a licensed battlefield guide this summer.
So
I did.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Life is good.
Life is good. And, absolutely.
And through your goodness, through your talents and your skills, you're making Adams County, Gettysburg, a better place to live. And thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
So this has been a special production of Community Media's Open House. We're here at Seminary Ridge Museum and Educational Center. Mark Worley's behind the camera and doing great work like he always has and will continue to do. And you know, about Mark, you know, is, you know, Community Media is over 35 years old, and a lot of our growth is because of Mark and individuals like him who have a heart's desire like you do for, mm-hmm. for media, but also for the community. And on behalf of Community Media, we're really excited about growing a partnership with the Seminary Ridge Museum and Educational Center, because I think that the stories that come here help the community. Do you not?
Absolutely.
How does it help the community?
Well, I think we learn about each other. I mean, what I've learned about this community is that it's a very dedicated community. People love Adams County. But we're as divided as the rest of the nation. So stories like this can help us figure out what unites us rather than what divides us.
Mm-hmm. And just because you're a little bit different shouldn't give fear or anger.
Yeah.
You know, if you were the same as me, it'd be boring.
It would right? be boring.
It would be boring.
It would be.
So thanks for watching this segment, and thank you, Judy.
Thanks, man,
we're excited for our next experience that we have with the Seminary Ridge Museum and Educational Center. And, until our next open house segment where we celebrate people like Judy, who does awesome stuff for the community. Stay healthy and be kind.